clean, safe, local. Your home for business is the Village of Bedford Park. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
12:03, finally Friday afternoon, November 22nd. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. We'll tell you how you can avoid holiday scams in our next segment. But right now, Thanksgiving is the ultimate meal deal of the year. And it's probably a good idea to stock up now and enjoy a delicious encore in just a couple of months. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Bert Flick, Managing Director at the retail consulting firm Strategic Resource Group in New York. Bert, thank you for joining us today. And one of the annual traditions in the news business, Bert, you can set your watch to it, you know, right next to the how much do the gifts in the 12 days of Christmas, how much does that cost on a yearly basis, is the average cost of a Thanksgiving dinner. And if you do the math and you stretch it out over the course of leftovers, Thanksgiving, the feast, may be one of the cheapest meals you'll cook over the course of a year.
Rob, that's some of the most brilliant business advice for your listeners and listeners across North America, because you get the finest quality food. And to your present point, you save unprecedented amounts of money, both on Thanksgiving, but in the weeks to months ahead.
And when it comes to doing some smart shopping, because you don't necessarily have to just reserve turkey and dressing and mashed potatoes and sweet potatoes and corn and all that stuff just for that last Thursday in the month of November. You can have it in February. You could have it in April. You could have it on the hottest day in July. The world is your oyster. So can you do some bargain shopping for items that you can freeze come Friday or Saturday?
Yes, Rob, you can do bargain shopping, and Lauren Flair, Henry Millay, and our team just scouted all of the city of Chicago and the suburbs for you and WBBM listeners, and we found some great local values at the Jewel Osco and Elsa Plaza in Crawford at 121st Street. So to your point, Rob, you can get fantastic deals on turkey, but also on meat, pork, poultry, salmon, shrimp, all kinds of fresh fish. Highest quality, cuts served to order in the stores. And in Naperville, Rob, at Casey's, finest prices on fresh turkeys I've ever seen. And Mike, who runs the meat department at Casey's, has the best meat department we've seen this side of New Zealand. Contrast that to go to Amazon Fresh, they're prejudiced against poor people and working people because their prices are too high outside the turkeys. And their in-stocks are the worst anywhere in America. So don't go to the big chain retailers, to your point, and your good sponsor. Shop local, shop Jewel, shop Casey's, shop Tony's, and you'll save significant amounts of money both on Thanksgiving Day, but every day for the foreseeable future and the weeks through New Year's, and to your point, well in New Year's Day and well into New Year, Rob.
When it comes to pricing, you know, how does poultry, turkey, or even chicken for that matter, how does that stack up to pork and beef? And, you know, what are some of the market factors at work, especially when it comes to turkeys at this time of year?
Rob, on turkeys, there was a pathological virus from poor animal husbandry in mainland China. So that's affected the turkey herd, but it also affected consumer awareness. So even though there are fewer turkeys, there are fewer people buying turkeys, which is why the Rob Hart point is so much more important, is prices on pork are the lowest in five crop years. Prices on chicken are relatively low. Steak and beef prices are coming in. And even on this special holiday cuts or meats, lamb, veal, et cetera, those prices are all affordable. So for the Rob Hart radio, TV, broadcast media, how to save and how to live well, live better, and have more money for the other things in life, shop for the best bargains of the year for Thanksgiving and keep preserving those best bargains and serve to the family to save money for every week from Thanksgiving week to New Year's Day week to well into the new year. Rob, this is one of the most brilliant business and consumer and personal and professional insights I've heard from doing 20,000 radio interviews in every country and continent and world. And it's a real masterstroke what you and WBBM are doing today for your listeners, but also what will hit social media across the country nationally as well as internationally.
Well, we aims to please. Bert Flickinger, managing director at the retail consulting firm Strategic Resource Group in New York, and I will see you with a cart full of frozen turkeys at the grocery store. Coming up, don't let holiday scammers ruin your season. Some key advice next.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Holiday shopping means big spending and big opportunities for scammers. Joining us with some key advice is Jerry Irvine, CIO of Prescient Solutions, member of the U.S. Secret Service Electronic Crimes Task Force based in Chicago. Jerry, thank you for joining us today. And when you ask, why do people do this? Why do they just decide to scam somebody out of their money? The answer, Jerry, is that it's lucrative. And in fact, scamming worldwide is a $1 trillion enterprise.
And just getting bigger. It really is. It's just getting bigger because it's so easy. There are so many different methods out there. The thing for us all to remember, we're all on social media and different sites. And when we're on there, we see, especially this time of year, we see all these coupons and ads for things that look just amazing, look too good to be true. And when we click on them from the social media account, or if we click on an email from our with a coupon in it or a link for something that we really think's amazing, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be fraudulent. It's going to be a hacker getting your information, wanting your credit card information and financial information so that they can rip you off. If you find things that you like, never click on a coupon you get. Never click on something from your social media. Go out to the internet, go to your browser, go directly to the website, and only go to reputable websites. And look for it there. Most likely, the deal is not going to be real, right? But if you can find something on the real website, buy it from there. Don't buy it from third parties, from emails, from texts, and be real careful.
The most common form of scam, especially when it comes for holiday gifts, is it someone trying to get money from you for a service or piece of merchandise they will not perform or deliver? Or is it click on this and now I have all of your personal information and I can run up your credit card and clean out your bank account?
It's really a combination of both, because many of the hackers are simply getting the $45.99 or whatever for the T-shirt or sweatshirt they're never going to deliver to you. But at that same point, now they have your credit card information, your financial information, and they're going to sell that information out on the dark web. So they're getting their cake and eating it, too. They're doing both.
And then last but not least, if you have boxes delivered to your home, get them inside as quickly as possible.
Absolutely. You know, Ring cameras are great, for your doorbell. You can also, with, certain vendors, have them use your garage code to get in. Now, you don't give them your garage code itself. You put that on their website, and the deliverer will be able to use their app to open your garage and put it into your garage. You get an alert. Obviously, you have a camera inside so you can see that as well, and that it'll get put into your garage safely. Now, one last thing, too. Everybody's going to be going out on Black Friday and shopping. They're going to have their phones and they're going to be getting on the internet out there trying to find more deals, coupons, buying things online. Don't use publicly accessible Wi-Fi. Hackers are sitting there waiting for you to get on the Wi-Fi at the grocery stores or at the department stores, and they can capture your information. Use your phone. Your phone is now, 4K or 4G or 5G that's fast enough. Use that. It's a point-to-point connection. You're not getting in the public network out there that allows hackers to grab your information. So use your private network with your, cell phone, and don't click on links that are out there. Go directly to the website. Biggest things.
Jerry Irvine, CIO, Prescient Solutions, member of the U.S. Secret Service Electronic Crimes Task Force in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, festive cocktails to make throughout the holiday season.
Discussing the news affecting your money, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Add a whole lot of cheer to the holidays this year with festive cocktails. Joining us with a host of ideas is Carly Katz, owner of Bottles and Cans, two locations in Chicago. Carly, thank you for joining us today. And this is the time of year, let's just say we're setting the table for your dry January, because starting on Tuesday or Wednesday, when you reconnect with friends that were just before Thanksgiving, you have that, you have Thanksgiving Day, you have holiday parties, you have Christmas Day itself, plenty of opportunities for hosting and imbibing. And how do you set the table, or should I say set the bar for this holiday season?
Well, clearly with me, the cocktails typically take front and center, even over the turkey. So sorry, everyone, for that, but it's the truth. We do a lot of fun stuff because it's also the time when you get to try new things. And this idea of like punch bowls just full of different types of beverage kind of come more into play than, let's say, like a Tuesday in May. So that's also kind of fun. We do a lot of just cranberry-based drinks. That's really popular for this year as well. You see a lot more of those coming out. But like Koval has this really amazing cranberry cocktail liqueur, and it goes with everything. And it makes this beautiful color, so you're also getting kind of the imagery of Christmas. But it's really a pretty, pretty look.
And then we think about Christmas or holiday cocktails you have at your party, at the office, or maybe if you're hosting, or perhaps Christmas Eve or Christmas Day itself. But are there any cocktails that scream Thanksgiving? I mean, if you want to have kind of a unique fall concoction, what's something that you can serve if you're hosting on Thursday?
Like doing a bubble component for Thanksgiving, because then you're also kind of working at that just massive amounts of food that you're going to be consuming as well. Bubbles are kind of a nice palate cleanser in general, but doing really anything where you have that bubble commitment, but I mean, not to say like mimosas, but mimosas are also kind of a lovely start to the Thanksgiving morning. But doing bubbles, creating something that has a little bit more of a citrus feel to it as well. There's 101 different like citrusy liqueurs out there. I know people are kind of on the rise with this blood orange and cranberries and grapefruit, I suppose. But doing those also creates like it looks pretty, it's cleaner, less ingredients also, because you probably have a lot going on in the morning where you're putting all the food together. But those are typically what we see. Or if you want to do like the coffee direction, I don't know how many of everyone out there spouses makes homemade whipped cream, but my husband does. So I look forward to that every year. But doing any kind of like base coffee, like a standard cold brew, doing heavy whipping cream, cream de cacao, peppermint schnapps, I mean, throw some rum chata in there. Those are also just kind of like, you're getting that coffee, that caffeine fix, but it's also lending to the chaos of your day with the alcohol component.
And then very quickly, Carly, if you are going to be a good guest and bring a bottle of wine to Thanksgiving dinner, generally, what pairs well with turkey?
So you can go a lot of different directions. I prefer to bring in like a dry Riesling. Riesling has just kind of always been known for being a wonderful pairing when it comes to Thanksgiving. White Lambruscos, that's another wonderful direction to go because, again, you're getting that effervescence, but they're light. They're very people-pleasing. So even if you don't quite know what the rest of the group is going to be drinking, they're safe. Most Rieslings, people have it in their head that they're a little too sweet. If you get that wonderful dry Riesling, it does fit the bill for most wine drinkers.
Carly Katz, owner of Bottles and Cans in Chicago, thank you for joining us today.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Contract talks between the Chicago Teachers Union and Chicago Public Schools are still a long way from any agreement. The judge in Donald Trump's criminal hush money trial has indefinitely postponed sentencing. It's Entrepreneur Friday on the Noon Business Hour. We'll talk with a woman from the South Side who is making a successful business using a secret family recipe. Plus, a travel expert will explain how one airline is rolling out new technology that's aimed at keeping passengers from cutting in line before their assigned boarding group is called. WBBM Business, the markets are higher. The Dow is up 358 points. The NASDAQ is up 33. The S&P 500 is up 20. We have 46 degrees right now under partly sunny skies. It's 12:31. Topping our news at the half hour, there's still quite a bit of distance between the Chicago Teachers Union and Chicago Public Schools and teacher contract talks. The union stepped up pressure on schools administrators this week, while district leaders countered that they've made generous offers at a precarious financial time. Union President Stacey Davis Gates sent a letter to Mayor Johnson asking him to intervene because school CEO Pedro Martinez has, in her words, slow walk negotiations. District officials argued yesterday the two sides have made headway, though key areas of contention remain. Sentencing for Donald Trump's criminal hush money trial that had been set for next week has now been postponed indefinitely. Judge Juan Merchan also agreed to hold off on issuing his decision on presidential immunity until after he reviews the party's filings. He granted the request by the Trump legal team to file a motion to dismiss the case, ordering them to submit their papers by December 2nd. Prosecutors are ordered to respond by December 9th. Trump's defense team wanted to have until December 20th to file their paperwork. It's 12:32 as the Noon Business Hour continues. Markets are higher today. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Ryan Dietrich, Chief Market Strategist for the Carson Group in Omaha, Nebraska. Ryan, thank you for joining us today. And when the Dow had popped 500 points early yesterday afternoon, I got a text from somebody saying, like, why are the markets so high today? Did something happen? And I said, no, the word of the day is rotation. So can you explain what rotation is and why it is powering the markets these past 2 days?
Yeah, Rob, thanks for having me back. And I will say I got to come to Chicago last weekend. I'm an Ohio State fan, enjoyed your fun city at Wrigley watching the Buckeyes play Northwestern. So I had a blast in Chicago.
And you guys kept it respectable, too. It was not a blowout last Saturday.
No, no, it was a good game all around, and we had fun. So with that, though, yeah, rotation is the word of the day. Like you said, I mean, we've seen some tech weakness. Now, it's all relative, right? But, like, just today is a great example of this. If you look, you know, market's up a little bit, sure, but small caps are up like 1.7%. Financials up well over 1% as we speak. Industrials up well over 1% as we speak. That rotation theme, I've gone on with you for a while, saying, you know, some of those big, huge technology names which have done so well and so much incredible earnings, you know, we've seen some rotation away from them. It doesn't mean they have to crash. It doesn't mean they have to go straight down. They can go sideways, but it's really nice. The lifeblood of the bull market is rotation. And we have said for a while, we thought small caps, mid caps, the cyclicals are going to lead. And that is exactly what we're seeing. And we think, Rob, it's still got some time left here to see that rotation continue.
Now, you know, the very easy analysis is that all of this is based on the election results. The investors and the business community likes the fact that they will potentially run into an environment of lower regulation in the next Trump administration. And they are also, they like the potential of lower taxes when that tax bill from 2017 comes up for renewal in a Republican Congress next year. So is this entirely trading on potential?
Well, we would say no, that's part of it, sure. But we've liked those way before the election, and we weren't so sure which way the election was going to resolve, and we thought that was the case. I mean, think about markets, right? There's pricey things, there's cheap things. Yeah, stock market on the surface looks a little pricey. That's because some of the large cap names, technology names, are pricey. Small caps, mid caps are cheap. They don't really like higher interest rates, right? We think the door is wide open for the Fed to continue to cut. And then the cherry on top, like you said, is potentially more deregulation, specifically financials. It's not a coincidence that banks, specifically the big banks, financials have done really well since the election. But honestly, Rob, before the election, if you looked at the 11 sectors, financials was like one of the, I think, the second or third best performer of the year before the election even started. Now it's really taken the baton. It's the top group. So there are some other factors, not just that, but that theme, again, of different groups leading and doing well versus just tech like we saw in 23, that's a story of 24, in my opinion. There's been a lot of leadership from a lot of groups this year.
Now, let's give our listeners a gift, Ryan, and that is something to talk about before turkey dinner is served on Thursday, and that is the Bitcoin conversation starter, Ryan. Bitcoin nearing that milestone of $100,000. If you dabble in the space, or at least if you want to sound informed when talking about it, what should investors do when it hits 100,000? Is that one of those psychological barriers where you get to 100,000 and sell?
Yeah, it could be, and I'm somewhat limited what I can say here, but I'll put it like this. You know, there is the reason Bitcoin's gone from 72,000 before the election to almost 100,000 right now, again, is on optimism. Some of the people that are going to be coming in Washington, people are going to be in power, are going to be more pro-Bitcoin. The reality is it's had an incredible run. These cryptocurrencies in general have, Bitcoin's up a lot, but trust me, some of the smaller ones are up even more. I think it's important around the Thanksgiving table not to get too excited, right, to remember to, not go all in on the shiny object. There's potential here, but we've seen before with any object or any investment that's really hot, it can come back in a hurry too. So we're going to see that eventually in some of these, so don't go too crazy. But honestly, a lot of people, probably a lot of the younger people around the table, are going to have a happy Thanksgiving because they might have been investing in this when they were told by some older people in the family it was not real. And who knows if it's not real or not. I just know the gains are very real, and there's a lot of happy people with some of the movement we've seen in some of those cryptocurrencies the last 3 weeks or so.
Just make sure they get the bill. Ryan Dietrich, that's Chief right. Market Strategist with the Carson Group in Omaha, Nebraska.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday on the Noon Business Hour, and we'll introduce you to a Southside mother of three who made a successful business using a secret family recipe. Welcome back, Michelle Hoskins, founder and CEO of Michelle Foods in Chicago. Michelle, thank you for joining us today. The story of your business begins 40 years ago, but to be more accurate, it begins in the 1800s, the origin of a family recipe that powers this food business that you have today.
Yeah, hi, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing happy great. Happy early Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Yes, you're right. The whole concept of Michelle's syrup started in the late 1800s. My great-great-great-grandmother, America Washington, had a secret recipe that she passed down through four generations of girls. And when my mother received it, she gave it to me, and I thought, wouldn't it be nice if I took this recipe and made it into a business for my girls, and that's what I did.
Now, 40 years ago, when Michelle Foods began selling this syrup, the family recipe, Jewel Osco was your first big customer, putting you on store shelves across the Chicago area. Looking back now on four decades, what is the toughest part? Is it getting the business off the ground, getting your product into a Jewel Osco and getting a great deal of exposure, or is it maintaining that business over the decades?
Rob, it's all of that. But I tell people that the product is 1% of the journey, because once the product is developed, formalized, capped, and labeled, then you get the acceptance in the store, you have to maintain that. It's like keeping a ball in the air. You have to maintain that shelf space. You have to make sure you market it. You make sure you keep consumer awareness at the forefront. And then as you grow, the growth comes from distribution, repeating that sale to that Jewel store, to the Kroger store, to the public store, to the national brands going across the country. And so that was what I did. I learned how to do it, and I was consistent with it. And now we're in over 6,000 stores nationwide, plus we're also in the military with now, three products.
Now, this has got to be one of the biggest times of your year, because think of all those families getting together, big breakfasts, either around Thanksgiving time or Christmas time. And you got to make sure that one of your syrups, or more than one, are served on the breakfast table.
Well, correct, and because we have three flavors, but what a lot of people don't know is our product is the only condiment in this category. So you can cook with our products. You can glaze the ham with it. You can baste turkey. You can do the lamb. You could put it in your vegetables. You could put it in your cakes. You could put it in your salads. So our product is a product that you can use over everything. We say our product serves everything, so people can use the butter pecan, the maple, or the honey cream for all different kind of recipes.
And then not only that, it's a great gift-giving opportunity. When did that begin?
Well, we developed the gift box last year because we were going into our 40th anniversary, so we have an anniversary box. And all our products, and someone can't find them on, you know, at their retail shelf, we're on Amazon. So we have the gift box, and the gift box has the butter pecan and the maple cream in there, and it has a pancake batter in there. It has a host of recipes, the real recipe book, and then it has the whole historical story of my great-great-grandmother, and you see her picture, and you see family pictures. So it's called our Legacy Box, our 40th Anniversary Box, but it's a great gift for Christmas.
And then speaking of legacy, I mean, we talk about this was a secret family recipe going back through the generations. What do you think your great-great-great-grandmother would think about your success?
I think she would be very, very, very proud. I think she would say that someone finally got it, you know, because a lot of times everyone has recipes stuck somewhere in a book, cookbook. Someone wrote it down, passed it down. And I just think that, and I've mentored other people. I have a program from Recipe to Retailer. I mentor people because these recipes are unique and different, but they're actually marketable. And so, you know, the recipe is good for family around family gatherings, but what about if you could share your family recipe with someone else? And that's what I learned to do. And that is what I think she would be more proud of me doing that and maintaining that over four decades. So I always think about her. I think of my mom. She passed a little while ago. And that this is something for my girls and my family. And I'm just very proud to be able to talk about it and encourage people that there are a lot of ways to get something done. If you just look, sometimes it's right up under your nose. It's right in the cookbook.
Michelle Hoskins, founder and CEO of Michelle Foods in Chicago. Thank you for joining us on this Entrepreneur Friday. Still to come, a major U.S. airline deploying technology to stop those dastardly line cutters.
Compounding your interest with an economy of words. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
American Airlines is tackling line cutting with new boarding technology. Joining us to explain is Joe Sweeterman, professor of public services and director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University in Chicago. Joe, thank you for joining us today. And a long time ago, Joe, before you were in academia, you were in airline operations and maintaining a harmonious boarding environment. How big of a deal was that from an operational standpoint for a major airline?
You know, back in those days when I was in the industry, load factors are averaged about 50-60%. So you had so many flights going out with not the full loads. And, of course, those days are over. And we're just seeing how that, and you add the TSA issue, people get their gates so early. You know, that whole gate environment's become very stressful. People are apprehensive, and this line cutting is certainly something people are worried about.
Now, American Airlines at 100 airports is introducing or has introduced tech that will cut down on line cutting. How does that technology work?
You know, it's a simple technology. Somewhat surprising it hasn't been used earlier is that people boarding ahead of their assigned group, a beep goes off to alert them that they're not allowed to board. It has two effects. One, it gives the gate agent a chance to say and go rejoin the line you should be in. And two, there's a moment of embarrassment, I think, for the passenger to let them know to the people around them that you got caught. And there's a lot of excitement about this because people who pay extra to board early and so forth really feel that that's one of the perks is being able to get on quicker. And so this line cutting down on line cutting is seen as something that's probably a good thing.
If speed in getting people on the airplane is the name of the game as far as operational efficiency is concerned, if you have a dispute about someone jumping the line, maybe boarding the plane when they're not supposed to, and that slows things down, I mean, how does that translate to cost to the airline slowing down the boarding process because two passengers are fighting?
Oh, no question. And certainly this technology is going to have to be foolproof or you're going to have a real incident at the airport. But we did see Southwest, you know, a year or two ago, just experiment with a dozen different ways to board the airplane. How can we do it as fast as possible? And everybody agrees that kind of the sequenced boarding by row or by aisle window seat is the way to go. So airlines really manage this. Every second counts. And you don't forget, Southwest is changing its whole boarding technique in part because of the apprehension that people feel in a little more chaotic way that Southwest did it with the open seating. So it's a real science for the airlines.
And then also having the tech enforce the pecking order in line probably takes some heat off the gate agent and who did not sign up to become a bouncer at the airport.
That's right. And the gate agents have a hard life, as do flight attendants nowadays, with pushy passengers. So I think when they have a protocol, the machine is telling them something occurred and it's not a judgment call. You know, that's a little hard to argue with, but no doubt we are going to see some of this at the airport where somebody says, explain to me why I cut the gate. I don't agree. And, you know, the irrational passenger, we can't get rid of them, but we certainly can prepare for them.
Joe Sweeterman, professor of public services and director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University, thank you for joining us today. If you missed any part of the Noon Business Hour, we have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and on the Odyssey app.